Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
All right, this is a little special segment for the podcast listeners because I couldn't be here for the entire podcast, but I have some stuff to say because these two, more specifically Julian, has been running his mouth off about Arsenal with me not being here to defend them. So here I'm going to say, when has Arsenal ever had the best team on paper in the Premier League? Literally never. Not since Arteta came here. Not since Arteta has been here. Never, ever, ever. Liverpool has been better. City has been better. At times, like Tottenham were better. So I don't understand why this narrative that Arsenal was supposed to win the league every year when they literally never had the best team on paper. You're dumb. Secondly, I want to say that this Pep Guardiola, did you guys see this Pep Guardiola ball thing? Pep Guardiola said that the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup balls are bad. And it's not going to blow up because it's not Mikel Arteta saying it. But because when Arsenal says something or does something, it becomes a freaking story because everyone loves to hate on us. But when when Pep Guardiola does it, oh, it's okay. Arsenal agenda, always in. I'm sorry I couldn't be here for the rest of the pod. I love you all. Enjoy the podcast.
We here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Six Yard Box podcast. You are listening to episode 84 of the program, and I am here with my buddy Antoine, and we are delivering yet another two-man episode for you guys. We are without Blake, and we are not even with Naps or any other special guest this time around. Blake is actually not at work this time. He's actually at a class. We're recording this very, very late, but this is actually one of the few times he's not skipping class to do pod. It's
unbelievable, I think. If you clearly, there's priorities in life.
Really, and
I think,
shows his commitment to the club.
Yeah.
And sackable offense.
It is a sackable offense, and I think it directly translates to his managerial problems as well as an FPL coach, which I believe we will get into later.
Oh, we're gonna get into that. But yeah, me and Antoine are going over the latest in the FA Cup, including my club crashing out in emphatic fashion.
You know, it's been a dead week when we're talking about FA Cup, but
we're not gonna be talking much about FA Cup, please. We don't want to. We're gonna be previewing a little bit. I know we did some last week, but we're gonna be previewing a little bit more of the Champions League round of 16 ties to be going on in the next couple of days. And then actually, I think we're scheduled, this is tentative still, but we might have an extra episode for you guys coming later this week that we'll record on Thursday.
We will.
We're locking it in, dude.
Come on.
Vamos, baby. Vamos. Hopefully you're not listening to this episode like too late.
Yeah.
This is like a Wednesday release. I'll be a little bit vexed, I won't lie.
Tuesday release at max.
Yeah. And if I need to handle it, I will. Anything for the pod. Anything for the club.
Anything for the pod. Hey, Blake, you hear that? I'm kidding.
Blake's been doing very, very well. We actually, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be, usually,
oh, yes,
you may have been feeling like, you know, we've been incorporating more video in the last couple of months, so you may have been feeling like a little bit like left out. Like, oh, I got nothing exclusive over here. All the video guys got the visuals to all this. They get to see Antoine's beautiful face for this production. But if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music, you can exclusively listen to Blake's little rant that he had before we started recording. He was in here about an hour ago. He came in just to record like a minute little thing, basically saying his thoughts on Arsenal, their downfall, and kind of airing out some frustrations he has with myself because he was very mad about what I said last week about Arsenal.
What did you think about that little segment there?
To be honest, it's been so long, I can't even remember what he said. I think we'll get on to Arsenal, and we'll get on more about what he said. But just in general, I got a lot of shit from Blake on text in the past week. Same from Miles. Miles listened to like the first little bit of our pod last week, and he's like, I can't listen to this. I can't listen to this.
Which is kind
of
crazy to say.
Way too much Arsenal hate. Like, I can't listen to this. So any Arsenal fans listening, I'm sorry. Next week, you will have Blake back sitting in this chair right over here. And
once they're eliminated, maybe?
From the Champions League?
Yeah. Or they lost leg one?
Yeah. Yeah. So, possible. But he recorded his Champions League predictions, which you'll be able to see either on YouTube Shorts if you're watching on YouTube or over on our TikTok, Instagram, whatever it may be, which we've been seeing a lot of recently because...
Oh, yeah. That video's up tonight.
That video's up tonight?
Is it another 3 a.m. thing? It'll be a little 3 a.m. upload, but it'll be up.
Oh,
you know the best thing ever is going to bed after uploading a video at 3 a.m. and... Which is... It doesn't happen often. I'm going to be honest. Like sometimes.
I feel like you do it way more than me.
The latest usually is like 1 a.m. for me.
That's a fucking lie.
Really?
That's a fucking lie.
Okay, maybe I just lose track of time.
the
best feeling ever is going to bed and then waking up with like.
Crazy views. The one of Naps' Champions League bracket, full transparency, breaking the fourth wall here, I did not think that was going to do well whatsoever. I remember waking up, it was last, when did you post it? What day was it? Like Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday morning?
What day are we today? Monday?
Today's Monday.
It might have been Friday. Friday night.
Officially 2 days ago, it says. So that might have been, yeah, so Thursday night you edited that?
Something like that.
So I remember just waking up. I had no idea you were going to edit and get it out by the time, but like it was like a 3 a.m. upload. Yeah. I wake up and it's already at like 50K. I'm like, whoa. Whoa, did Antoine cook with this maybe?
Might have cooked.
Because honestly, cooked. I was like, bro, we can just delay it till next week, like whatever. But yeah. It probably would have done shit if you listened to me. So hey, big respect.
Were we like the first to do it technically? Like that format kind
of? Yeah, probably. I mean, there was a couple before us, but like we got in early and... Obviously, Naps, you and I have our controversial opinions, which always does well. We got a lot of never let bro predict again comments.
Oh, dude, that's top comment, I think, on all three of them. I'm kidding. They liked yours. Yours is like the... I just don't like yours because it's too safe.
What do you mean it's too safe? No. My first pick was PSV over Arsenal.
Yeah, but that's not like a crazy take. Your final is what everyone thinks the final is going to be.
Like I don't think it's that.
Go on the Instagram comments. Everybody's like, oh, W, 100% ball knowledge.
Yeah.
Don't go now because we're not doing ego boost before the pod. We're not doing this.
Blake's, what do you think of Blake's prediction? I don't want to give anything away. But
I mean, by the time this episode's out, the video will be out.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's true.
Arsenal winning the Champions League.
Yeah, let's break
brother,
that ice. He has Arsenal win the Champions League.
What have you smoked?
So his logic is they survive PSV. And by the time they play probably Real Madrid or Atletico Madrid, Saka will be back. He'll be able to cook for them. Martinelli will be back as well. He can play striker because that's going to make such a massive difference.
But then again, if Saka's back, he doesn't transform your already injured squad.
Yeah.
He doesn't completely elevate you guys out of the slumps.
Could you say he is overrating him?
You know, if I had to revisit my overrated 11 today... My good friend Blake might push me to put Saka in that overrated 11.
Wow. Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Because last week, too, he was like, fucking hate when I'm out there. You guys fucking go crazy. You guys, I fucking hate you, Julian. But Antoine's the voice of reason. Antoine is my shining light. He's always giving W takes.
It perfectly lines up with the episode because you started speaking and then like you go on like this whole rant and then I talk.
Yeah,
so he probably texted that.
He's
once
like
you're
seething and then he hears you. Okay. Okay.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into a little bit. You actually produced a little bit for this pod. We're gonna go through FA Cup as quick as possible because there's only a couple of fixtures to really like laser in on. We have Villa versus Cardiff first. What do you have to say about that game?
I kind of just put this game in here because of how Villa are clicking at the perfect time of the season. We always talk about how end of winter time / springtime is the best part, is like the most important part of the season for European teams.
Valid.
And that's when teams need to play the best. Mbappe had an interview saying that Real Madrid's season really starts in February, which kind of encapsulates this whole idea. Villa are... playing really good football in the best time of the year.
Mm.
And I think their winter transfer window has not completely transformed them, but made them an even better squad than they already were. You have Marco Asensio's experience, who has proven, even to this day, that he still got it.
I know,
and
man.
I think that just shows the difference in top-tier players that once played for Real Madrid and so-and-so, quote-unquote, average Premier League players. Like, Marco Asensio walked into this Villa team and has already scored 4 goals in 2 games.
I know.
It's insane. And then you have Rashford playing very well as well.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Man. Yeah, I think it's the same thing with McTominay doing really well at Napoli. Like, obviously, I did put him in my overrated 11 because I have my other reasons for that. But, like, him doing well in Serie A does not mean Serie A is a bad league. Like, Rashford doing well at Villa does not condemn any of, like, the wingers that they had there already. Like, obviously, you put two brain cells together and you know that, like, there's something at United where players are doing good, they come to United, they do bad, they leave United, they do good. And Rashford is just the latest example of that. Antony is the latest example of that. Oh my God, we got to get into him.
We do.
And Co beating Real Madrid. But, like, there's just something that goes on. Like, it's the same thing I told you about Højlund last week. Like, I bet if he leaves United, he'll go, like, back to an Atalanta, or he'll go to, like, a Villa, or he'll go
a little Leverkusen, maybe?
He'll go, like, a Leverkusen. He'll go somewhere, like Dortmund, maybe, and he'll just go insane. Insane. And then he'll go somewhere else for 100 mil. I guarantee you.
So what's the problem, then?
The problem is, I think overall, we may be, like, overcomplicating it. It may not just be fun to play for United. The pressure of the media, the location. We mustn't forget, it is winter. No, I'm kidding. It rains a lot in Manchester. No, but obviously the pressure and just the overall vibe of the club. Like, I love United with all my heart. I would hate to be a United player right now.
I'm not sure anyone in the world would like to be a United player right now.
Exactly. Yeah, you're on high money. Yes. But does the high money not just, like, kind of make it easier to down tools? Do you know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
Like, you're living pretty, you know, and this season is kind of a write-off already, and this new manager has not done much to recruit any trust from the fans or the board, and, like, the standard of United is not that high at the moment. That's kind of the main thing, and they're almost, like, the players are so bad around you that you don't even need to go into, like, third gear to end up keeping your spot.
Fair enough.
Because you have no competition anyways.
It's I think Dorgu's first few games, although he had that red card the other day, I think Dorgu's first few games kind of summarizes that for that United situation, because yes, he has played well, but no, he has not played spectacularly. And already United fans are saying, oh my God,
he's putting in 6 out of 10s, and we're like, oh my God.
And that's the problem at United.
That is the problem. And in a year, his 6 out of 10 will be a 4 out of 10. And he'll just eventually regress. Because it's not like he'll raise the levels of United. The United will lower the levels of him. That is the issue. The culture of United is not one of perfection. It is one of mediocrity. It is one of okay.
Oh, Blake would be raving right now.
Being good.
If he heard you say that. Mediocrity. That's the word he was looking for there. He won't get off you now.
What do you mean?
Mediocrity. He always says, do you just normalize mediocrity?
Obviously, I'm not accepting mediocrity. I want way above mediocrity. Yeah. However, you can't deny that's been everything at United the last little bit, right? We have a decent little win against Ipswich in midweek. And then we just put in we fought against Fulham yesterday, but you can just tell the quality is not there. I guess we can kind of go into United.
Yeah, I mean, nothing more to say about Villa. I'm really excited for tomorrow. A lot of people aren't as excited for Club Brugge Villa. I understand it's not the best fixture out of all of them, obviously. But the fact that it's a 12:45 game, or the early kickoff,
oh really,
makes me excited to watch it, because I can strictly watch that one. It's a game that I would be interested in, but wouldn't watch if it was a part of the other kickoffs.
So but you're since skipping class tomorrow?
Oh, dude, I'm skipping class for Champions League.
Come on. Oh, I am too. Are you skipping the first one though?
Yeah.
Okay. okay. Listen, with United. Again, I just mentioned it, but in the midweek, we had a hard-fought win against Ipswich. I thought the performance was okay.
Relegation battle, some might say.
Yeah, massive six-pointer in the relegation battle. Not that much to really rave for in terms of quality, in terms of like, there's no player that really impressed me in that game. I thought a couple did really well, like fighting for the win. Like De Ligt has looked really good in these past couple of games. Maguire obviously did well to score and get the winner eventually. And I thought Bruno had a good captain's performance of just doing what he had to do to bring us over the line. So in that sense, it was decent. But then context, we did look pretty bad on the ball. It was Ipswich and we were at home and the performance is not up anywhere near the level that it needs to be at United. And we had the exact same performance yesterday against Fulham, and we can only score one goal in 120 minutes. We score a very bad, or we concede a very bad goal to concede. It was a very rough one. And then we just lose it on penalties. And we actually had a lot of chances in extra time. We had a lot of chances in the last couple of minutes of normal time, we had a bunch of chances, but we just couldn't take those chances. And we couldn't really create chances for most of the game before that. So yeah, it's a big lack of quality at United right now. It's like if we have the quality, we don't have the effort. If we have the effort, we don't have the quality. And like, I think we are closer to putting it together than most people think, but I don't see how we put it together.
Okay.
You know, see what I'm saying? So yeah, I think a couple of more players like Dorgu could really benefit us in the window. But again, going to the whole ownership thing, do I trust us to get rid of 10 and bring in 10? Not at all.
No. Yeah.
Not whatsoever.
No.
And that is the main issue because, like, you know, like one bad apple spoils the bunch. And you kind of need to get rid of so many of the apples before, you know, maybe the one bad one you have infects the rest of the squad. I don't know which players that entails getting rid of. I think moving Rashford on was legitimately a good start. But we just need to show that, like, no matter your history at this club, if you're not putting in the right performances, then you got to go, simply. And we need to bring in the right players that fits the profile of Emery, because the last thing I want is for us to be like in these trenches and for people to start putting it on the new manager, who clearly does not have the pieces to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, but I also look at this and think, why would you get someone that why would you get players that only specifically fit Amorim's tactics and not players that can adapt to any tactic? We've had this argument before. It's like, if Amorim's tactics don't end up working and you're stuck with all these players that strictly only can play in three backs and in Amorim's tactics, what do you do at that point?
I guess what we say by Amorim's type of players is not necessarily like, you know, wing backs that can play inverted, or it's not necessarily like people with technical, with like tactical knowledge on how to play the Amorim system. Like Ugarte used to play for Amorim, wasn't signed to play under Amorim, but I would classify him as an Amorim player, not just because he used to play for Sporting, but because he brings high energy and you know he could play that eight role, right?
Yeah.
And there are players like that who can play an eight role, whether it is under Amorim or whether it's under another manager.
So you don't directly mean Amorim specific.
Exactly. Dorgu was not playing, I don't think he was playing a three back for Lecce. I cannot say for sure, I won't lie. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it was a 4-3-3, and I'm pretty sure he still did well in that system as an attacking fullback. Attacking fullbacks are a pretty hot commodity in football these days anyways.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, it doesn't work out with Amorim, then what have you. Another player we were looking at a lot was Giovanni Quenda of Sporting. That's a player I'd buy stock in. obviously, did play under Amorim, of course. However, is like a 17-year-old phenom who I think is going to have a good future in this game anyways.
Yeah.
And he could play as a winger, or he could play as a wingback. Those are the types of players that we could
Colombian,
bring in.
Is he?
Portuguese.
Portuguese?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Portuguese. Giovanni Quenda.
Scary. A lot of Portuguese up-and-coming players.
Oh, yeah? I'm worried about us as striker, though. I won't lie.
Gonçalo Ramos is still there.
How's he doing?
Decent. Off the bench. Good little decent player.
Off the bench or PSG is not.
Yeah, but it doesn't really fit the Luis Enrique style of play, so I don't blame him.
We need like a Gokaris coming through. You know, like that type of phenom level striker coming through, or else.
How greedy. All these phenoms, every position, João Neves, Vitinha, Leão, the wingers, Giovanni
Quenda. You need to score goals in football. How greedy. You need to score goals. Fair enough. Just had our best ever squad ever, And like, well, it was 0-0 between us, right?
Yeah.
So like, we couldn't even score against you guys. But anywho, a little bit on Patrick Dorgu as well. A lot of people hating on him. The mistake between him and Onana against Ipswich.
Who do I pin that on?
Who are you pinning that on?
Why is he coming off his line blood? I sent that to the group chat. You didn't react.
What
I
do
was
mean?
Genuinely disappointed. I sent the still the picture of Ainsley Maitland-Niles going like the picture of it, like the moment.
Oh,
no one reacted. No one got it. No one got it.
I don't remember that, bro.
Oh my god, how do you not remember that? But yeah, no, I think it's an Onana's mistake. Although it's a lack of communication, it's still, why are you coming out for that? He's clearly there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I pin it 70% Onana.
Okay.
Dorgu should be looking where he's passing.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like, that's kind of basic football. Yeah. But Onana, like, it's a miscommunication. But Onana, like, if you're coming for that, you need to call for it.
Yeah.
So.
Keepers.
Yeah.
Keepers.
Move. So.
Is Onana authoritative like that?
He is.
Yeah?
Genuinely, he is. People are saying, like, he's lacking confidence. I don't think it's that at all.
Mm.
I think Onana has confidence for days, but he just needs to find consistency.
Okay.
Again, it's a player that I think you're just inherently uncomfortable at United, you know? So, especially with the turbulence of the whole team right now, like, it can't be fun to be in that dressing room.
Oh, no.
Just be a United player, you know?
Impossible.
So, I think that's what it mainly is. Other things with Ruben Amorim, he was saying after we got eliminated yesterday in the FA Cup, he was saying the goal is to win the Premier League. I know that we are losing games, but the goal is to win the Premier League again.
I did see that.
I don't know how long that will take. We have a goal and we continue moving forward no matter what. It's impossible to know, but you start understanding the players better and we understand the league. We will see in the future. I think Wayne Rooney responds to that, saying that Ruben Amorim is very naive.
He responded to it?
I think Rain Rooney's on TV or something, and he reacted to the comment saying, like, that's like really naive.
Well, I mean, you kind of have to say that as Manchester United manager.
Yeah.
There's no other, in these hard moments when you've just joined the club, it's been 4 months, barely 4 months, and you're kind of losing a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to sack you, but you have to give some kind of hope.
Yeah.
There's, what else do you say?
Yeah. There's kind of a problem. A big problem with Ruben Amorim is sometimes that he's too honest. Like, there was kind of an article, there's an article in The Athletic that kind of went over some of his quotes that he's had in the past couple of months. And, like, the guy literally said, like, the headline goes, Ruben Amorim is honest, refreshingly honest, maybe even too honest. Shout out my dad, he actually sent me this article. But some of these quotes include, one, him saying that David Moyes is doing a better job than me.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
You don't say that.
Yeah. He said, I am not helping my players in the moment, which it's kind of your job, mate. I don't know
concerning.
How you should say that. He said, I have to sell my idea. I don't have another one. So, like, damn. Of course, notably, after our loss to Brighton, he said, we are the worst team maybe in the history of Man United.
Yeah.
And in talking about the relegation battle, he said, that is really clear, the threat of relegation. It's really possible, so we have to fight. So
maybe he sees it in like a way of rallying the troops.
I think like being openly honest and kind of being brutal in your assessment is kind of what we need. We had it under Ragnar a couple years ago, and I think the fans kind of rally behind him because you're right. But I think there is a point where it becomes kind of counterproductive.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, these things, we know he's thinking these things, right? We know he's saying it to his coaches. We know he's saying it to his players.
Uh-huh.
But do you have to be, you know, saying it that publicly to the world and to the media that to a level where I can't really see how it helps the players, you know?
Sure.
You can make this message just as clear to your squad while keeping it away from the media. That's my thing with Ruben Amorim. Otherwise, I like it way more than Ten Hag's press conferences.
Yeah?
Huh? all these press conferences, like, I like that Ruben is honest. I just question, is he too honest?
Okay.
That is all. But yeah.
Good questioning. It's fair.
It is fair.
Yeah.
It is fair. He's kind of like Mourinho, where, like, sometimes he will overstep. I don't know if it's a Portuguese thing, but we're honest people.
You went on this whole United rant without touching on Fulham. kind of just stayed with Ipswich there.
Let's talk about the Fulham.
What happened there?
Let's talk about the Fulham game a little bit. Like, I kind of touched on it, where like we kind of showed a good fighting performance, where like I can see an effort from the players. There are a couple of players where I commend the effort, because that is all I can commend.
The standards have dropped, ladies and gentlemen.
It has.
United fans are commending players' efforts.
Dude, I know. I'm grasping at straws here, you know? But the problem was we just couldn't finish our chances. And then penalties, like, I knew when I saw Victor Lindelof stepping up, I knew it was over. Garnacho didn't take one. Why didn't Garnacho take one?
Xerxes did.
Xerxes stepped up to take the last one like he did against Arsenal and, like...
Poor pen.
Same with Lindelof. Poor pen. Would you have put Chido Obi-Martin on a pen?
Ooh.
Because he is, averages...
Oh, my God. Blake is here.
Oh, my God. Blake is here. Oh, my God.
I thought it was just a random guy. Would I put Chido Obi-Martin in the... Would I put Chido Obi-Martin on a pen?
First of all, are we not going to address the elephant in the room? I'm here now, chat. Let's... First of all... I would not put that fraud Cheeto on a goddamn pen, bro. Are you kidding me? Cheeto Obi-Martin, more like, go eat some Cheetos at your house because you're never going to play a game of football again, bro. You want to know why? Do you want to know why? We were having this conversation the other day. Do you want to know why that the Arsenal Wonder Kids go to other academies? Because our team is so good. He talks about Aiden Heaven going to United as well. I said, yeah, sure. Look at our fucking two best center backs, Gabriel and Saliba, for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. When the fuck is Aiden Heaven going to get game time?
Fair enough.
That's fair. But Arteta's never really...
The striker thing? Okay. The Gio thing? Okay. But for the most part...
Do you know who we were looking at before this pod that we found out was... An Arsenal Academy graduate?
Ooh.
Do you know the name Mika Bierath?
I literally brought this up for you. This guy plays Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I brought this up to you. Yeah, he has like three hat tricks.
He has 10 games and he's joined Monaco in January. He's in the race. He's in the race for Golden Boot of Liga.
Oh my God.
And
dude.
He joined the club in January.
Yeah.
In his last three games, he scored 3 hat tricks.
If I speak, just terrible. And that's the one thing that. It haunts every team, but it's kind of haunted, not to go off track.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one thing that kind of has haunted Arsenal in recent years. It's been Serge Gnabry. It's been Mika Bierath now. We thought it was going to be Valerian Balogun. There's just been a lot of players that we've let go, and it's kind of come back to haunt us, and we were good now, but at the same time, I don't know. It's looking a little dicey.
It's kind of the curse of being a good team.
Yeah.
You know?
You can say the same thing about City, how they let go Romelu Lavia, Cole Palmer, all these names.
Good point.
All of these names.
The Paul Palmer. Jesus. I just got on the pod, guys. Guys, first of all,
how's your class?
We fucking here, bro. I'm so happy.
How's your class?
Back, bro. It was good, bro. I absolutely carried my presentation. Yeah. But no, I'm so happy to be back. But the Cole Palmer thing is looking a lot more likely now. What is one of the weak spots of the Manchester City
what is
right
the Cole Palmer thing?
When I said it was bad business that they let him go.
What? How is...
You know what they could use right
what
now?
What are you saying?
In that center attacking mid position? I guess De Bruyne's not really playing there, but you know what they could use right now?
Fair enough.
They could use a Paul Palmer. That's the new one. Paul Palmer, man.
Paul Palmer?
Oh, Jesus. Please, no. Please,
no.
No. This is weird.
You still have... I know.
Bro, this is weird. This is really strange.
Have you ever sat in my chair?
No, I think this chair I've
never... He's
never
potted there. You've never potted here. I've never potted here.
This is fucked.
The last and only time I potted in this chair was when you threw your hat at me.
I remember that.
After the Trossard red card.
That was a good episode.
Yeah.
What were we talking about, boys? Sorry.
We were talking about United going out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He asked me if I would put Cheeto Martin on a pen.
Oh.
Because I was questioning why Garnacho didn't step up to take one.
And why Lindelof did.
So, right. Do we think that was the manager not trusting him? Do we think Garnacho said, I'm not ready? Like, what do you think that was? Like, Garnacho just gave it away? I don't know.
I think, speaking from personal experience, in a penalty shootout environment, you kind of have the group of, like, 3 or 4 players that is like, I'm taking one.
Were you a part of
I'm
that
taking
group?
One. No.
No, bro.
I did not step
Julian.
Up. This was grade... Like 11 Julian. This was a different Julian.
He's a scared football player.
I was the one having to save all those pens.
Yeah.
Oof.
Bro, one of the...
I was first to take them.
I've actually never...
I was
I've never taken a pen in a penalty shootout.
One of my biggest...
What?
I've never taken a pen in a penalty shootout.
Really?
Never.
What?
Bro. I've been like... Guys, I'll go 6th. If we need, I'll go sixth. That's but we crazy. Never need sixth.
Oh, that's what? Like lose. That's United
the same,
mentality.
At the same that time, is
that's United, United mentality. Mentality.
At the same time, we've never lost a penalty shootout.
All right.
When so I've been there for moral
support.
You're
a bad pen taker?
I feel like I'm a good pen taker, but I just never like the pressure. I never like the pressure. That's bad of me. I played striker too.
That's poor.
That's crazy.
Really I thought you were midfielder. I thought you were midfielder.
I played center. I played left back, then center back, then
he's
striker, then center mid. I played everywhere. A big utility man.
Yeah.
Big utility man. There's some lore to it. I was a center back by trade. Coach put me up in striker one time. It was my first time wearing laceless boots. The Ace 19.1s, 19 plus.
Okay.
Scored four goals.
Four goals?
Wow.
That was where you're supposed to
still
applaud
not
me.
Taking penalties.
Okay. Okay.
Well.
Okay. Yeah.
No, one of my worst moments of all time in footy was in high school, grade 9. It was the semifinals of our tournament or whatever. We were up like 4-3 in extra time. And then like, I remember saying, I was like, no mental lapses, boys. Like 5 minutes.
Don't let this slip.
5 minutes later, like a ball is somehow like behind me. And like, I don't pick it up because I thought my boy was going to clear it. And he thought I was going to pick it up. So we both just leave the ball and the striker just taps it in. And we lose on pens.
No.
I think that was heartbreaking. The coach had to like lift me out. Yeah. Like, no, he was really nice, but he was like, yeah. Anyway.
Damn.
United suck though.
Sorry. Back to Garnacho and your.
I mean, we're kind of over that topic. Like, it's United's bad. What's new? Like, I don't think we were going to win the FA Cup, but it's just a little bit more heartbreaking because that was our only route into Europe. I mean, we could win the Europa League, but
like,
I'm not feeling good about
imagine
that.
Imagine they get relegated, but are in the Champions League. That'd be so cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, I almost want that to happen.
They won't get relegated. That's too.
We're not going to get relegated. After that 6-pointer against Ipswich? Who do you blame, by the way, for the Onana Dorgu mistake?
Both of them are just awful on that.
Who do you put more of the blame on?
Like, I want to say Dorgu, because if you see Onana coming, you have to let, even if it's a terrible decision, you have to let him do his thing.
He did have his head down. That's the part where
that's
I'm
the
like,
issue. Like, you got to know where your keeper is. If you're passing it back, you have to know where he is. At the same time, Onana didn't look very assured going out for that ball.
You have to be calling for it.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture I sent to the group chat?
Still on this, bro.
I'm so mad. You guys didn't say
Wait, let me see.
Genuinely.
Sorry, it's been a crazy weekend. I'm so sorry.
No, okay.
These past couple of days have been, insane.
Me and you have been cooking, though, for real. Like, in life.
Like, we had one of those, like, I mean, we have those sessions, Antoine, where we're just, like, we're in the lab. Like, we're just, we're brainstorming.
Just
we're talking ideas, and we're just, like, we're going.
Yeah.
We're going.
Those,
like, that was us yesterday
in the flow.
About Pod, about Fan First, about this project we're doing.
You guys talked about Pod?
Very well, by the
way. What's the picture? Who told him to
call
him Brian, bro?
Yeah. Thank you.
That's valid.
Thank you. This guy didn't know what he was referring to.
Who told him to call him live, bro? You never seen that clip?
No, I know. Like, you can see him.
Oh, yeah. Also, Miles just texted the FPL thing. Kind of makes me want to rescind my conceding, because I conceded. I retired.
Whoa.
Like, from the season. I'm done.
Retired as
okay, we're gonna hold on. We're gonna get to that.
Yeah, we're gonna
episode.
Get to that.
I thought we're wrapping up. Or we still got some stuff to talk about?
A couple things to talk about.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been.
We're not even the deep.
Sorry,
we're potting for 30 minutes.
My apologies.
It's all good.
Antoine, where else you want to go? I mean, we can go La Liga a little bit. Not much is changing there. Barcelona now top.
Looks
of the
like
league.
I'm stepping out of the pot again.
I rarely watch any highlights either. I remember showing him the Barca score, and he goes, "What did Lamine Yamal do?
Oh my god.
What did Lamine Yamal do? No goals, no assists?
No, but then he tried to glaze him. He's had nothing and he's the highest rated player. There was like three players higher rated than him.
I was just talking about this with you.
He was talking about this.
He no goals or assists, but let me show you what he did on the first goal, okay?
Bro, I don't care.
On the first goal,
I don't care.
He dribbles past like two players, breaks the guy's ankle, crosses it into De Jong, who then passes
it. Look at this.
And has
the
assist.
Guys, I don't care.
You can't.
This was Barca's first
goal. Saka's not doing that.
Yeah, I'm showing him right now, Lamine Yamal breaking somebody's ankles, passing it to Frankie de Jong, who crosses it in to Jared Martin, who grabbed his first goal for Barcelona.
Martin, bro?
Shout out. That's depth.
That's Barcelona's depth.
But, like, should I know who that is?
No.
That's Barcelona's depth.
That's crazy, bro.
They have at least one decent alternative option at every position.
Clearly.
You know what I saw this week? This is kind of on the topic, but I wanted to throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets, Rodri. Drop one.
And you drop Rodri, obviously.
Who's who? Who
ESPN FC.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah.
But you drop Rodri, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You drop Rodri. There's no...
Like, even, am I being nostalgia bias?
No,
or?
There's just no.
No, you drop Rodri.
Bro.
Okay.
Even if you think Rodri's peak is better than all those, which is not,
he's only been doing it for like the past four years. He hasn't been like when he was at Atletico, he wasn't the same.
34 max. That's
what I'm saying.
The worst
bro.
Player out of all those four won the Ballon d'Or.
Yes, but the other three each right, have two Euros, one World Cup.
I saw that. It was a comment. I saw that.
That's the top comments.
I do that all the time. Don't worry.
The other the other three have two Euros, one World Cup each, and two Champions League.
Well, it's like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's night and day. Whoever came up with
the
that
best midfield trio.
That ESPN FC admin time. Should definitely get fired.
Well, they glaze the fuck out of Messi, so I wouldn't mind that.
Like, why Messi hate, bro?
It's not even Messi hate. I just overly Messi.
It's overrated,
glaze.
Apparently.
No, I just see it how it is, okay? I just see how it is.
But you know, Barcelona, 57 points, top of La Liga. Atleti, 1 point behind.
Yo, WWE should we talk about WWE? No, sorry.
We're not doing that.
Wait, can I say something?
Oh, my God, brother.
Go ahead.
Someone said, make this a clip, or maybe don't. Someone said that the John Cena heel turn.
No, we're not making this a clip.
someone said the John Cena heel turn is like Messi going to Real Madrid and scoring against Real Madrid and celebrating after he scored. And like it's like the perfect comparison.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's perfect.
What's heel turn? He turned his heel?
No, it's like he turned bad guy. Okay. Yeah.
I'm Except sorry. One is scripted and one is real life.
Lots.
Okay.
Oh, he's not liking this.
Oh my God, he's about to walk off set.
Go ahead. No, it's fine.
I'm kidding. UFC is always clear.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I have one other thing. Blake, this kind of relates to you.
I want your
opinion on this.
This is actually perfect.
Oh, there's actually two more things. Okay. But I'll get to this one first. Did you hear the new rule?
Eight-second rule?
Yeah, the eight-second rule for goalkeepers.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. It's like if a goalkeeper holds the ball for more than 8 seconds, the referee will award a corner kick to the opposing team.
I really like that rule because in previous seasons, doesn't matter, goalkeepers hold the ball for way longer than they're technically supposed to before it's an indirect free kick. And referees just let it slide all the time.
Overrated Emi Martinez.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now actually having a rule. Giving a corner after 8 seconds?
I really like that.
I really like that.
But you realize that's like kind of already sort of been a rule. Not the corner thing.
No, yeah, but I'm saying referees would let it slip all the time.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. So how is it going to be a hard, fast, you get to 8 seconds, like in the NBA, you don't cross half court by 8 seconds.
And who's going to be timing this?
That's what I'm saying. Or is it going to be like, all right, maybe 10 seconds, all right, and then it's back to 15 seconds.
I'm sure there's... This technology is like in the ball nowadays. So like if there's contact with a glove or something, I'm sure they have the timer starting.
Imagine
right
like
away.
You hold it for 8 seconds, you just get a buzz, you get shocked.
It's like us in dodgeball where like they start counting down 3, 2, 1 and we drop it.
We'll see how it goes. I think it is good for the game for sure. Like you always see those stats now. The ball's only play for like 50 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is, but
it'll definitely help with the time wasting.
Yeah,
that's 100%.
It's just about how the referees actually enforce it. That's the only thing we're going to have to see. And
It could be a good rule. It could be the most useless thing of all time.
Yeah, we'll see.
With this rule implemented, I don't see goalkeepers holding on for more than 8 seconds. Like, it'll almost never happen. The corner, like...
You'll
almost never see a corner from that situation anymore.
But then I could see them, like, just time wasting another way. Like, sure, you hold it for 8 seconds, and then you hoof it out to row Z on the halfway line
after like 7.5 seconds.
Yeah, for a throw in and like.
Yeah, exactly. But you'll never see a corner from that. Like the goalkeepers won't be that stupid. Yeah.
Fair. Anyway, the other thing I want to touch on was the Neymar news.
Oh, what?
You didn't hear about this?
Like the
this
I
is,
see
this is per David Ornstein.
The links. Okay.
What are we doing?
Neymar's return to Santos from Al Hilal was on a short term contract. So unless an extension is signed, he'll become a free agent in June. And one of the clubs he's linked to is Barcelona. I don't like that.
And do what?
I'd.
What would he do if he goes to Barcelona? Start over Rafinha and Lamine Yamal, who are firing off every single cylinder possible? No. Your career is done.
But like vibes, you know?
It's done. What would you do?
Like vibes.
But like vibes.
Sure, vibes, yes. Nostalgia merchants, all that. Retire at Santos. Sign a one-year deal. Retire at Santos. Story over, flip the page, it's done. Like, what more do you want?
Yeah.
Low-key well said. I have no rebuttal.
Would you not have, like, a little part of you that goes, this is nice?
It would be nice for the pictures. That's it. He would see maybe 10 minutes a game in games that are already sealed.
If he does see 10 minutes a game, I don't mind the move. The only reason that I think it would be bad is if he fully like replaces Lamine and Rafinha in the team, which I don't think would happen. So if he's going there, he's on a loan deal, and if he's like, you know, not overly impacting the actual team, which you wouldn't want to ruin this move, definitely not, then I think it's possible. Plus Barcelona, who need all the commercial revenue they can get, let's remember, would not mind a little Barcelona or a little Neymar transfer just to sell a shit ton of shirts. You know?
Fair.
This has been a move that's kind of been flirted with for a couple of years. So that, plus the fact it's David Ornstein on this case, there's definitely validity to this.
I mean, yeah, there's a great chance it could happen. I just think his career goes full circle if he retires at Santos. You start there, you finish there. Yeah. You've had a great career.
I do like that. He's just restarting his career. He goes to PSG.
You'll see him at 41 PSG for $300 million. Oh, breaks a transfer record.
But then you could get the moments like the Thierry Henry moment in the FA Cup.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like in the Copa del Rey, he like comes in and scores a bicycle kick or something. I don't know.
I don't know if he's capable, to be honest with you.
He'd break his back.
Yeah. Like we're done. Like it's
I know, you kind of have to know to let go, but I would like to see it, just selfishly. Maybe if I was a Barca fan, I feel different. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like when Ronaldo came to United. I know it's kind of a different situation.
No, that's different. He was still
He wasn't ultra wide.
He was still like one of the best players in the world.
Actually, completely and utterly not the same situation at all. Not even close.
It's not.
I take Ronaldo at Arsenal right now.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you take United Ronaldo?
Yes.
Or PSG Messi?
Right now?
PSG Messi won a Ballon d'Or. Let's be very careful here.
Okay. No.
You sold me. PSG Messi.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's how easy it is to convince you?
In the system, I would want Ronaldo right now, but as for the player, I'd want...
In the system.
The game
what
is
system?
So gone when
what
you
What system
say
are we talking
system?
About?
Bro, in our
in
system.
This is a hypothetical situation. What system are you talking about?
Oh, just for... the Arsenal system.
Who's better?
Who's better? Wait, who's better at that time? Messi, bro.
Yes, thank you.
I thought we were talking about... In the Arsenal system, that's what I was saying. I wanted Ronaldo.
He won a Ballon d'Or at PSG, not because of what he did at PSG.
Also because of what he did. If he solely had only won the World Cup with Argentina and crashed out in the group stages for PSG, I don't think he would have won a Ballon d'Or.
Stop being a Ronaldo fanboy, bitch.
I think he still would have.
He was top goal scorer and top assistor of the game that year.
That's not hard to do, bro.
We just said they're on the up. Well, maybe they weren't back then, but
I don't know.
Al Nasser Ronaldo or Inter Miami Messi?
Inter Miami Messi, and it's not close.
Fuck, my goat is washed.
It's not close, bro.
You know what? We have these debates, and I always come back to like, how the fuck is LeBron still doing it?
Yeah, he's gross.
He's still playing
they
good.
They might
top 10
ever since
the
Luka trade. They're in like ever since the Luka, well not since the Luka trade, but they're second in the West now.
Yeah.
Like they're cooking. Oh, the Leafs are playing. Sorry.
Nothing I was kind of flaming you beginning of this pod.
So
right when it started, like 15 seconds after the start.
Okay.
Like the we here, hello everybody. Blake's a fucking dickhead.
Why?
It's for missing pod lately, and it's just like
he was questioning your commitment to the badge.
I'm joking.
Wow.
I was sarcastically.
You saw him sprinting down.
I was sarcastically questioning.
I have to do
your commitment to this pod.
I have assignment to do. I have rooms to clean.
That was my argument. I was like, class over pod. I mean, there's priorities in life.
Bro.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
You're right. I'm here though. I'll be here on Thursday after Arsenal lose. But.
I think this is our first ever 2.5-man pod.
Kind of sexy. Not gonna lie.
Game you're most excited for in the Champions League this week?
Mm.
Not apart from Arsenal.
PSG Liverpool.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It
you
has
too.
To be.
Or the Madrid derby.
The Madrid derby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bayern Leverkusen as well.
That's the one I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. No, brother.
Low-key Aston Villa and Bruges. I'm kidding.
I'm excited for that one actually.
I know you.
How about the Prem teams just lose?
Why would you want that?
Besides us, I don't know.
It's weird. It's definitely weird.
I'd love Atleti to win it this year for once.
I wouldn't mind it. Griezmann, finally.
Were we all too quick to predict Real Madrid getting past Atleti?
I've seen a lot of comments under the TikToks, and I've kind of like reanalyzed it. They have a good chance.
It is actually, like, it's that tie is actually razor close. I think the only reason is, like, I think there's just some situations in football that you can't picture. And Atleti beating Real Madrid in the Champions League is something that we just can't picture. Mm. There's been times where they've been this close in terms of quality, but Real Madrid always had their number on this stage. And, of course, their squads are way different, but it's kind of the same thing here.
If this is a year where they can do it, picture it. If there's a year where they can do it, I think it's this year.
Yeah.
Especially with all of Real Madrid's injuries.
Yeah.
And
I dig.
The way that Atletico Madrid has been playing this year, they're kind of straying away from that low block. It's still the stereotype for everyone to say that Atletico Madrid play low block and Cholo Simeone's tactics are very negative football. But this year, it's been a little bit more positive, and they've utilized a lot of attacking players, Julian Alvarez, Conor Gallagher, Griezmann. I've been liking the way they've been playing. I wouldn't mind if they beat Real Madrid, honestly. I wouldn't mind seeing them make a deep run.
I definitely wouldn't put it past them. And if they do beat Real Madrid, man.
Arsenal after that?
That's a snooze fest waiting to happen.
Harambo. All right. Is there anything else to talk about?
Nothing happened this week.
I feel like we really ignored.
That's why we can do a Thursday pod.
We went from talking about Italy for 30 minutes last week to not saying a word about it this week.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Juve and Naps. Juve won 2-0 today against Verona. So moving on.
Naps, thanks for filling in for me.
Show some enthusiasm when you're
speaking. I'm genuinely very happy. Like he cooked, man. His first time on the pod. It's not an easy thing to, you know, come on and fuck around with us because we're kind of stupid. So,
fair.
Very, very valiant effort from Mr. Naps. It was very good.
Okay. Yeah. Like for a first time as well. Like he was very, very, very solid as well. Shall we move on?
I was looking at a couple headlines.
Oh.
Lake resigns as Shiabadi Ashile manager.
We're moving on to FPL, ladies and gentlemen.
So,
oh my God. Okay, are the rumors true?
So here's the thing. After the insane week he had with the 116 pointer, which you guys didn't talk about because you hate. Because there is an agenda
against
Shiabadi
Ashile.
Because
the average was 115.
No,
we didn't talk about it.
I won.
Among the league.
No, I had 130.
Among the league.
Not that week. I won that week.
Did you?
Yeah, I won that week.
Okay. Are you sure?
I'm like 50% sure. It's come to the point where his mental health is just taking a step down.
Okay.
He just doesn't know if it's worth it. He didn't change anything for the last, and I don't think it's going
to
change anymore.
Didn't make changes to the starting 11 last week?
No.
Okay.
Damn.
So kind of just throw your players
and it wasn't,
let the season end.
It was intentional.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's a message to the board, or is there disorganization at the club?
I think it's been an unfortunate season for Shiabadi Ashile, and I think the terrible start just was something that they can never bounce back from. And it's to no one's fault, honestly, but the manager. You can only look at the manager because he's the one putting it out there, and he's the one that can't get the team to do its job, right?
Okay.
But I do think he'll be back next season, but I think he'll be watching from the stands, and we'll have the assistant going in for the next.
The second headline I see here, Blake Talibas and Steve Cooper, which one is worse? I haven't opened it. I'll definitely have to read that one later.
Yeah, it'd be a good read.
But
yeah,
yeah, fans weren't too pleased with that season.
I fear he's already thinking about his next club for next season, also known as the next FPL name.
Okay.
And there's been a couple ragers going on, so just you wait.
Yeah, because 47 points this week. Gabriel Alexander-Arnold with clean sheets. That kind of helped. Mo Salah captain, still fielding his captain, which is good. And then João Pedro. Not a bad return from some of these players here. But then
I put in João Pedro. He played.
Anthony Robinson, Raul Jimenez, Chris Rowe Langt.
So he came in automatically because Smith Rowe didn't play. Mm.
47 points and an average game week point of 53 is not great. And the general public can see why he was pushed to resign at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Ethan Nery, talk me through that choice.
This was the final straw because I thought someone had to score. And Szoboszlai blanked for 4 weeks in a row. 4 weeks in a row, he blanked. So I said, you know what? Bring him on. Bring on my star boy. Then Arsenal hadn't scored in two games. Szoboszlai had like 30 points in the last two games. And I said, that's enough for me. Okay. That was actually the break. Genuinely, that was the breaking point.
That would have sent me over the edge, personally.
Yeah.
So at what point do you let some of the other managers in the league give you a helping hand?
No.
Just for the fun of it.
No.
Okay.
Bruno Kitt's already on, lads. I'll even buy dinner because I probably deserve you.
Like to hear that.
Yeah, because
like
I'm not a fucking person that goes against my word. I actually re-up my word, even though it wasn't in the contract. I have morals.
Now, is that a direct shot at no more Mr. Rice Guy, who is also on very thin ice, may I say?
Yeah, he's such a shit manager, bro. How am I losing?
You want to carry this away, Julian?
Yeah, no more Mr. Rice Guy. I mean, he's had a terrible week in himself, not just because his whole entire front line is injured. He had Cunha, who just got banned and sent off. He also had Mateta.
Who doesn't have an ear anymore.
What? Poor guy, man.
Not yet. Very disgusting challenge. That keeper should
my favorite champ not play another in the game league, in his life. Bar the Saka champ, by the way.
Yeah?
The Saka champ?
Boom, 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 boom. Mateta's in the room.
Yeah,
there is no striker better than Jean-Philippe Mateta. You know the Saka chant?
What's the Saka chant again?
You know what?
No.
Bukayo Saka running down the wing. Saka. And I know
the Saliba one clears.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Saka chant has like, there's like a lot of them. They use that chant for a lot of wingers. But Saka's works the best because it's like, aha.
It kind of sounds like Voulez-vous.
Like it sounds the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they do like, Jota. Oh, man. Salah. Oh, I guess.
Yeah, that one works.
Looking over the rest of No More Mr. Rice Kai's team, he had Rashford, who he recently brought in for a little one-pointer. I don't know how I like that move. He also brought in Mo Salah. He has Luis Diaz, Rodgers, and Nwaneri as well. The entire league, minus Roll of the Dice, has Ethan Nwaneri. What are we doing here, guys? Konsa and Robinson he brought into this game for a combined
guys,
0 points.
Guys, this is what I'm saying. How am I losing, bro? I don't understand.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm going to...
Gabriel for a 7-pointer. And
I'm
Dean
just
Henderson
thinking of bringing something up, and it's making me laugh just the thought
okay,
of it.
Okay, bro, I want to hear
it. His ranking in the 6YB league is quite low. I was wondering...
I know exactly where you're going.
I don't know where you're going.
How is this particular manager doing in the...
What, bro? Oh.
The Yiddish Cup.
It's not even funny, bro. You know what's good when Antoine breaks like this, bro?
I can confirm.
Okay, confirm. Where is he in the Yiddish
Cup? He's gotta come sit down.
In the Yiddish Cup, where is he, bro?
He's broken into the top four, lads.
It's the Kiddish Cup?
No, it's the Yiddish Cup. It's the Yiddish Cup. He's broken into the top four of the Yiddish Cup, and he is currently fifth in Diddy's Diddlers.
Oh, wow. Why? Okay.
Okay.
Okay, let's get to the top two.
Yeah.
He's also 30,000 in the Thogden League. Shout out Miles, man. Shout out Miles.
This is regular top two every single week, I think. Me and you?
Pretty much. Yeah, so we actually had a tie for first in the league this week. Kicking it off with Roll of the Dice. Who did I bring in? Clivert actually did well for me the first time. João Pedro again.
Blake's
coming off
misery
the bench
in these FPL roundups, by the way.
I was really, really fortunate to end up having Isak not playing in the Liverpool game. That means I had, I believe, Rodgers off of my bench for 7 points. That was massive.
That was big.
I also have Gordon, though, in my team, and he got a red card in the FA Cup.
Oh, my God. Was this second yellow or straight red?
I don't even remember. It says here.
Might have been his second yellow.
He's suspended until April.
Wow.
Oh, it's over.
Oh, no.
For me.
FPL all right.
So Gordon's got to go.
The life of everyone.
Fuck, I'm
going to
have to transfer him out tonight.
God,
he's already going down.
Fucking pathetic.
What? And you're fourth. Pipe down.
You retired, brother.
Yeah, you know
that
what?
That Bruno kid's going to look nice.
You know what?
Okay.
What?
And then ending it off with Macaroni and Cheese, also with 59 points.
You guys didn't have good weeks, bro.
Yeah, we had bad weeks.
We actually got Green Arrows. So you're up to 130k
yeah, you were fucking above average. No
130k
shit.
In the world? Yep. Quite disappointed with that. I think the manager is. He's looking for a contract extension soon. So kind of.
You're running back the name?
No. Just a Just the club likes him.
A lot of teams are interested in him, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, trying to up that rank as much as possible would be great.
I heard that Roald Dodig is getting a little bit worried. He's actually considering an alternative strategy of reporting Macaroni and Cheese's name and trying to get him banned from FPL.
Okay.
So, you know, we're really doing everything we can here. See, we're going to have to let the courts deal with it, sir.
See what I mean? Shibati Shilate stays in his own lane. Uh-huh. All right?
Yeah.
He's not involved with this drama. If he needs help, what, last year when he needed help, he does so in an ethical way.
Okay.
None of this back and forth bullshit.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm actually going to try.
At least I'm ethical and I have morals. None of this terribleness.
Okay.
Unbelievable from
It's actually funny you say that because I'm actually going to report Shibati Shilate first because it's a very misogynistic name.
No. Shia.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I can be honest, best name of all time. So good. Better than Robin Your Percy.
Robin Your Percy is solid.
That's pretty good. It was pretty good, solid. What was yours last year again?
I forget what mine was.
Brennan's Johnson.
Oh, mine was.
Brennan's Johnson solid? Was good, yeah. Thanks.
Mine was Better Call Saul.
That one's shit.
Fucking terrible. That absolute.
That's like almost
trash.
Worse than No More Mr.
Genuine
Ice
trash bag. Like,
that's almost worse than No More Mr. Ice Guy.
Yeah, No More
Mr. We're up there.
Yeah, that one's bad too.
I don't think it's bad. That show was popping last year.
No, but it's so basic.
It is basic.
I don't think so.
And Saul played like 2 months at Chelsea, went back to Atletico.
No. It was Jose Sa.
Oh,
it makes it a little bit better.
It makes it worse. Because you had a player that played in the Premier League.
That was called Saul. What the fuck? Wait,
that's even worse. You're terrible.
Yeah, that's poor.
I wasn't going to name it after a player that wasn't playing anymore for Chelsea.
Robin Your Percy, Van Persie's like...
Yeah, but that's like a Premier League legend. I can't... Mm. It's like naming your team after like Falcao or something. Like, you just can't do it, you know?
I would do it.
Falcao was here for a little bit longer, but anyways. Okay. So yeah, that's FPL. It really looks like the league is taking its shape. I cannot really foresee many changes happening to end out the season. So yeah, it's a bit of a shame because it's been a really entertaining season. Sure. In the 6YB league.
Agreed, yeah.
We're actually hoping for a league expansion next year. We're talking about this.
Okay.
If we can get like Naps on board, if we can get maybe like Aaron on board, maybe my brother on board.
Okay.
Introduce Papa B to FPL.
Interesting.
For him to bring in Mateos Nunes or something. Like,
sure.
We'll make that happen.
We'll see how it works. Sure. I'm just. Blake seems ecstatic with the idea.
I just hate FPL talk. But
all right, let's wrap this up.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode.
Can I just
of...
say, generational dog shit switching from me today?
That's okay.
My apologies.
Don't worry about it. As long
I'll be
as
back the, on a Thursday.
As long as this camera was on me when Blake was sprinting by.
I think I was talking.
Fuck it.
Yes, bro. We're so good at our jobs, bro.
Because I don't think this cam was on it. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Anyways. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the Six Yard Box Podcast, a little bit of a scuffed edition of the show, our first ever 2.5-man edition. And yeah, we really hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, and do all that stuff. It will really help out the channel and help us all out. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of the sort, give us a 5-star rating.
Stars.
And tell us Blake's worst take that you ever heard. Anyways, thank you again, everybody, for listening to the 6-Yard Box Podcast, and we will catch you all next week.
Julian's a mug. We out!
See ya.